Father. Boy, when we were singing earlier, did everybody else hear the angels singing with us? Oh my gosh, that was like amazing. All right, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come up here and give the offering word today. It's a great honor. I'm going to be reading out of Malachi 3:10. You're saying, Hector, you did that last time, Malachi 3:10, but how many of you know you have to hear the word and hear the word and hear the word, right? This was a scripture that solidified it for me, and so I want to share it with you. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? This is the storehouse. Bring the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now, and this says the Lord of hosts, the angel armies, right? He's got your back. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that you cannot contain it, there's not enough room to receive it all. And I will rebuke the devourer for your behalf, for your sake, so that he will not destroy your fruits of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, again, the angel armies, right? And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And again, this is something that solidified in my heart. The Lord actually dealt with me as we were going through praise and worship to change course a little bit from what I had written. So I'm going to go with this. It's a heart posture, okay? We can read a word, but if we're just getting it mentally, it's not going to have the effect that it's supposed to have. We're using our faith, right? We have to really get it settled in our hearts, right? It is. It's so important. Jesus, when he talked to the young ruler, right? The young ruler wanted to follow him. And what did Jesus do? He could have said, hey, just, you know, put everything in storage for right now. Get some servants to take care of your finances. And then you're going to go with me. A year later, you'll come back and everything will be there for you. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He told him to sell everything, give it to the poor, right? And what happened? That vexed the young ruler. He couldn't do it. What was it? It was his heart. He trusted more in his finances and what he had physically in this material world than he did in following the Christ, than following Jesus, right? So his heart wasn't right. And Jesus had to pull that out. That's why he did it that way, right? I mean, just think about it. Again, he could have just said, put it away. It'll be there when we come back, right? Now we're talking about also King Solomon. What did King Solomon do? He built an altar and he sacrificed 1,000 full offerings, burned them, and went to the Lord with it. And then he prayed for wisdom. And what did the Lord do? The Lord said, because of your heart, you didn't ask for fame, you didn't ask for fortune, you didn't ask for, you know, all these other things that you could have asked for, but because your heart was for my people, the people of Israel, you wanted to rule them justly and with wisdom, you asked for wisdom. And so the Lord said, because you did it with the right heart, I'm going to give you the wisdom to run this land. He was the wisest guy that ever lived, right? But also the Lord said, I'm going to give you a bonus. Everything else is going to be added to that because your heart was right, right? So let's look at it that way. It's our heart position with this. Now you're going to say, Hector, I've tried that tithing thing before. It didn't work. You were in mental ascent, okay? You said, okay, let's try it. Let's try this. Let's see if what he was talking about is really going to happen. This is not a test, you know, that kind of a thing. This is a heart posture. When we fully give our heart and our finances to the Lord and say, Father, you control it. I'm going to let you take hold of this. I'm going to do what you say, what your word says. And this is the final authority is the word, right? When you put your heart in that position, that's when things start to happen. That's when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Remember the talents, right? So the ones that were given the talents to invested. Let's think of it this way. We're investing into the kingdom, a much better investment than this worldly investment, right? The one who stored it away and buried it in the ground did nothing. So the Lord didn't call us here to take all of our money and our tithe money at 10% and store it somewhere that's not profitable, to just bury it and hold it, right? Nowhere in the Bible will you see where the Lord says, hey, take all you got and just store it in the ground, right? And then it's going to prosper. It doesn't work that way. Right? It's your faith in and your trust in the Lord and his word. That's what gets results. And then God will, you're putting him to the test here in this word right here. He's going to open those windows for you. He's going to rebuke the enemy on your behalf. And then the world is going to see, those around you are going to see, man, that's amazing. How did you get to this point in your life where your finances are prospering so much? And then you share the Lord with them. And then ultimately, they want what you want. They're going to call you blessed. They're going to see you blessed. And then in turn, when they find out the revelation, when they get the truth and they get it settled in their heart, then they're going to prosper. And it just keeps going and going. And the ultimate goal, to get more and more of his children into the kingdom. So with that being said, everybody go ahead and prepare your tithes and offerings. Ushers, go ahead and get ready to receive our tithes and offerings. And everybody say this with me. Repeat after me. Lord, I bring my tithe and offering to you as an act of worship. I honor you with my tithe and offering today as the source of my supply. As a tither, I declare the windows of heaven are open unto me. I receive blessings being poured out to me in such a manner that I do not have room enough to receive it. I receive the promise of the scripture that protects those who tithe. No devourer or destroyer is allowed access to steal my harvest in Jesus' name. As a giver, I stand in the promise that says, as I give, it will be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. People are always giving to me because I'm a giver. I declare I always have more than enough. Excess and overflow. And every need I will ever have shall be provided for in Jesus' name. I am wearing the blessing. I'm wearing a mantle of increase. I prophesy increase and overflow. I decree that each year my finances grow to another level of increase and abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come on, ushers. Let's go ahead and pick up this offering. God is good. And if you'd like to give via text message, text VCHL, and the amount you want to give to 73256, click the link and complete your gift. And I would encourage you to go ahead and do it that way as soon as you get paid. That's the way we do it, because that's the first thing that you're supposed to do, right? All right. Y'all are blessed.
Good. Praise the Lord. You have a great voice. I like listening to you. Hallelujah. Are we out there yet? Welcome. Hey, Tina, if you're watching, or you're probably going to watch later, it was so great to meet you and in person. And I know we're going to see each other soon. Bless you. Thank you for sowing into this ministry. Mindy, bless you. Thank you for what you sow into. And we just are so glad to say hello to Douglas and Kaylee, and Johnice is still out, but she's coming back soon. And bless the Lord, praise the Lord, all the rest of you that are watching, glory to God. Amen. All right, let's go to James. Ooh, I don't know, it's just a good day. I feel like we're swimming in deep water. Whew. Hallelujah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And, you know, you can, you know, we know all sorts of people. We're in all sorts of camps and tribes and stuff, and we don't all agree doctrinally the same. But, you know, when we pray, particularly when we pray in the Spirit, we're in unity.
We are.
We all of us sitting right here don't agree on everything. Jenna, come up here, please. The word of the Lord's come to me for you. Thank you, Jesus. But man, when you're in the Spirit, you can get in unity. These are your days. These are your days. I've seen what you've committed to. I've seen the path you choose to take. And now the overflow shall appear on the scene. And now the increase shall come. Increase in finance, increase in anointing, increase in favor, increase in health, increase in love is upon you now. Get ready to enjoy the very best days. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I hear this. Showers of blessings. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be expecting, dear girl. Thank you, Lord. James 1:16. Do y'all like my tractor? Yes. Max says to me sometimes, what'd you do this weekend, Pastor? Ride the tractor? Hey. Praise the Lord. That tractor is a whole lot better than a tiny lawnmower. Amen. And it has a bucket and a backhoe, so you can do stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was just raised like that, church. We had equipment and stuff, and it's a whole lot easier to use a backhoe than it is a shovel. And so, praise the Lord. It's a good thing. Amen. Glory to God. James 1:16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Okay? Don't err.
That's right.
Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Got it? God is good. All the time. Everything that is in the earth that is good came from God. You can trace it to Him. Evil has another origin. It's not coming from God. Well, He made the devil. Well, He didn't make him evil. That had to do with the will. Amen. All good things on earth are God's. This is God is Good Part 2. And we're going to kind of go over some things we went over Wednesday night, but we're going to step it up just a little bit. Okay? So they're good if you recognize where they came from and you treat them the way the designer intended them to be treated. How many times have people received the goodness of God and then a few months later they're complaining about it? Right? So whatever God's blessed you with, be grateful for. Praise the Lord. Well, it's hot. Well, when you're driving out and you look at all those mountains out there and all those lakes out there, you could be glad you live in the hill country, in the lakes. Amen. Always treat things like the designer made them for you. So now listen, if God is good, and He is, because He's better than I think He is, okay, then I must adjust my thinking and the tenderness of my heart until I live conscious concerning that nature, okay? Concerning His goodness. So what I'm trying to say to you is we adjust. He's not adjusting. We adjust. That's what you had to do with the Word to make it final authority. You adjust to the Word, right? Some people have their favorite scriptures. And that's all. And they're going to use them for the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, it benefits their flesh. But that's not really what you do with Scripture. Certainly it benefits you. All of it benefits you, but some of it's actually correction.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of it's direction. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Some of it's deliverance. Anyway, if God's better than we think He is, and we don't know, you remember Pastor Burt said that to us? He said, you don't even know the value of this church. And what He was trying to tell us, He wasn't trying to be negative that we don't know. He was trying to tell us to seek it out. He wants us to seek it out. I'm telling you, we need to seek out how good God is. And I'm telling you, if you'll get this on your heart and you'll start meditating on how good God is, goodness will show up all around you. Amen. All around you. I'm telling you. Get goodness on your mind. Amen. Amen. Get goodness on your mind. This has to become an awareness where we live from. I told you Wednesday night, I said in the front of my Bible, I always put this, filter every scripture through this. God is good. Because sometimes you don't understand King James. Sometimes you don't understand it. Why it says, it sounds like it makes God look mean sometimes. But you gotta wait and get a deeper understanding of that. Cause God's not mean and he's never been mean. He's love, church. He is love. He doesn't just have love. He is love. He is good. So he came up with a plan to try to help people that were obstinate and ignorant get through these things. And so sometimes they didn't have all the revelation even that you have right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, the same way I traveled to here, I'm going to go back home. In fact, my phone will tell me you are 16 minutes from where I live, which I'm not going to say out in the world. And so it'll tell me that you're 16 minutes. Well, I'm going to go back to that same place. And two poodles are going to jump on me when I get there. But where do I always go back to? That God is good. Amen. God, always go back there, church. Always go back to the fact and the truth that God is good. He should be our anchor. Goodness should be our anchor. It's our abiding place. And so that being said, we're going to measure everything by this. So let me just give you a picture. Rachel's going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to show you a picture. Ronnie will know it right away. Okay. Do you recognize that? Starry Night. Okay. Who's the painter? It's a Van Gogh. Okay. Now, so this is a picture. This is very famous. You see it all the time everywhere. You can get a print of it or whatever. It's really a big deal. Now, so, but what do you know about that? Let me ask you a few questions. Let's just have some fun with this. Do you know where Van Gogh was when he painted that? Anybody? He was in an asylum. He was in an asylum when he painted that. He went there for a year to see if he could settle down because he was messed up. And so he painted that. He was in an asylum. And so that painting, then he died a few years later. And that painting went to his brother, Theo. And he had the painting, but then Theo died. And so the sister-in-law got the painting. And the sister-in-law had the painting. You see where I'm going with this? It's dropping down to another person, to another person, to another person. So then the sister-in-law was pretty smart. She began to understand that if she sold these paintings of his to wealthy people who loved the paintings, who could see something in them, that they would become famous and make money. And she did that. And so this painting and many others of his paintings, actually he would think about this in the nighttime, but he painted it in the daytime. And the village below, actually, he wasn't looking at that. It was in his thinking. Just telling you stuff about this painting here, because, my point is a lot of stuff goes on with a lot of doctrines and thoughts. Where they came from and everything. Yeah. Anybody know where this painting is today? It's in New York. It's in the Museum of Modern Art today. So see, this got all the way from an asylum to the Museum of Modern Art. You follow me? Went on and on and on and on. Now, if, not necessarily this one, but if I were an art specialist, Let's say that I was a specialist on Van Gogh, okay? So, and you inherited this painting and you said, Roxanne, I think this is a Van Gogh. I think it's been hidden all these years, okay? This is real far-fetched. But anyway, so you would hire me to evaluate this painting. whether or not it's authentic, an authentic masterpiece or not. So if it's real, it's worth about $100 million. If it's fake, $100. Okay. At its best. Okay. Now, so my approval makes quite the difference in what someone would be willing to pay or purchase the potential treasure for. Are you following me down the line here? Okay. So the burden of proof then is going to lie upon my shoulders. If the painting is authentic, it'll be celebrated worldwide, and it's going to be in the Museum of Modern Art. It's going to be wonderful. It's a new discovery. If it's fake, it's going to be labeled that somebody duped you. Yeah. It's not true. Okay. So then my process of study would be that I'd have to have an examination of his brush strokes, right? And then I would have to look if this is consistent with his style. We should have actually gotten some more, because if you could see his style, this was very consistent with Van Gogh's style. And so I would look at that, and then I would test the colors, the paint, the canvas, to see if they're consistent with his works. Are y'all following me? Okay. I would search the subject of painting to see the place of location or the content with what we know about his life. Amen. And so we would look at all these things. And then after some weeks of study, I'm going to tell you if it's real or not. And you're going to decide what you're going to do with it. You're going to decide what you're going to do with it. You're going to decide what you're going to decide what you are going to do with it. Now, so I'm making that point because I want you to get it. The approval is not a careless opinion, because my whole reputation I would be risking. So I can't just go, oh yeah, or no, it's not. I would really have to use my craft, or in our case, know the anointing and flow in what God has shown us and be able to discern and pick things off, right? So it has to be a conclusion based on the study of the previous works, as well as the known nature and the life of the artist himself. And I hope you just got that. Because you can use this illustration that I gave you right now to discover God's will in the most difficult situations. Here's the example for you. Someone calls me on the phone and they tell me that the sickness that's bothering, that I'm suffering from, which I don't have one, I'm making this up, was given to me by God to teach me to trust him. Oh, see the eyes in here? Everybody's flashing at me like, no, that's not coming from the authentic, is it? Okay. So I need to examine the word to see if it's authentic from God. God, the chief of all artists, has left us with many masterpieces throughout the Gospels. And so we can look in the Gospels and see if this painting that this person just made, for the picture they painted for me, is the truth. And so I'm going to say, okay, that's interesting, because the Bible says that Jesus healed them all. The Bible says that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. And we could go on down the line, and y'all know the scriptures as well as I do concerning this thing. So I would have to say that this word that this person gave me is fraudulent. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And so this is how we live our lives. If you get hit up by the parking lot prophet this afternoon when you leave, y'all like, who is it? I'm making that up. And they start telling you something, you better compare it to the original. You better compare it to the word. You better know what you're doing. If someone's preaching to you out of the word and starts telling you that Paul had a thorn in the flesh and you're going to have one too, because that's the way you're going to learn grace, you're going to look at the scripture and see that it was a messenger of Satan. God didn't send it. And God kept telling Paul, my grace is enough. It's like this, church. And he told me three times. It wasn't like he told me three times and so I finally. No, the grace was enough to overcome it, yes. Not stay in it.
That's so good right there.
And by the way, it wasn't a sickness. People are like, Paul had an eye disease. No, he didn't. It was a message. It was a person hounding him with ugly stuff. Okay, read the Bible. Okay, so, praise the Lord. Y'all with me? So what that person claims is authentic, as an authentic word from God, contradicts the examples known in the original work. What am I telling you? Go back to the original. God is good. Go back to the original. God is good. He didn't do it. People get in trauma. People get in... Somebody dies early or something, and they can't understand. They have too many questions. But stay steady. Excuse me. Stay steady. God was good in this. He didn't do it. But you have to stay. This is when people will start saying, well, it was just their time. It was just their time. No, it wasn't their time. It could have been, but if they chose it to be. Amen. Well, you know, we're promised 70 years. No, honey. Moses was saying that's what they had in the wilderness because of their lifestyle there and their murmuring. God said he'd give us 120. Take what you want out of it and then go home. Pastor John told me. I said, Brother Copeland's going to live to 120. What do you think we ought to do? He's like, well, Rox, I don't know. I think if I live to 120, all my friends will be gone. I was like, okay, go ahead. So he did. Praise the Lord. Too early. But he's not the scriptural example for me to go by. Amen. Sometimes things, we don't know all the reasons. Amen. But, you know, questions are allowed, church. But the idea is to stay humble before God. And don't get off in the toil and the blaming and the, you know, the getting off course on these things. All right, praise the Lord. So, my renewed mind then is able to come to the conclusion that what was given to me with God's signature at the bottom is indeed forgery. Okay? It wasn't right. So the nature of the deceptive piece is so severe that it requires me to expose it as a fraud.
That's right. That is right.
Come on. Yep. So that nobody else buys the counterfeit piece. So I'm going to tell you, you don't have to feel bad telling people, well, listen, let me tell you what the Bible says. Don't feel bad about that. And if they get mad at you, they'll get over it because they're going to go think about it. And they're going to, that's what happened to us. We were like, what? They're so arrogant. What does that? And then we went and looked and by George, it was in there. And we had to change our thinking. The Lord told me they're right and you're wrong. Yeah. And when he did that, I started searching. I was like, you know, some people, they're going to try to prove you're wrong. But the good news is you're right about this. Yeah. And they're going to find out about it. So don't feel bad about it. But I want you to hear me on this. Even though we're going to approve it as a fraud, you need to hear me on this. Even though I soundly reject the person's word to me, I don't reject the person. Yeah. See, I know that my approach to that person sets a standard for how I'm going to be treated in the future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So blessed are those that are merciful. They shall receive mercy.
Yeah.
So there's a way to handle it. Y'all remember Wayne Tiefenteller? When he was a little kid, he promised the Lord he wouldn't go to the movies. But he went to the movies finally when he got older, and then he went out to the rodeo and he fell off the bull and broke both arms. And then he told Sister Billy, he said, well, I'm getting paid back and I'm reaping a harvest because I went to the movies. Now, first of all, going to the movies is not a sin, so don't put that out there. I didn't say that. That's what he said, not me. In fact, go to the movies and go see Reagan. It's great. Anyway, so Sister Billy's running the class there. And so he's testifying that, and he's got both arms in a sling. And he's testifying that God did that to him. And Sister Billy, y'all know how she is. Y'all have heard the story, but I want you to hear it again. So she jumps up and says, oh no, my brother. That's the devil getting pay on what you said, The devil's reaping on what you said. The devil's reaping on what you said. The devil's reaping on what you said. Those weren't her exact words, but they're close enough. You see what I'm saying? He said that. He put that into play. And now, so he thinks he's paying. But he's not looking at the original, because the original didn't say that. But he was brought up in a place where the doctrine was that movies were a sin. Most of the people who used to believe that don't believe that anymore, because they came to the truth about that. Amen. They don't believe that stuff anymore. But back then, it was so. So things progressed there. I used this example the other night. I said, if Salvador gave me a job, and he said, okay, we're going to frame up a house. And he said, I want you to cut every one of these 9-foot boards. I want you to cut them to 8. Cut them to 8 feet, exactly 8 feet. And if I cut the first one, measured it, cut the first one, I did good. But if I laid it on top of the next one and measured it with that board and cut it until I had 100, once I got out there, I'd have some 9-foot board, a 9-foot board at the end, because you have to measure every board. At first it won't matter. At first it's just barely, but when you get 100 boards cut, eventually those boards are going to be longer, because you can't get the cut just right with each board laying on top of it. So you're going to be further out there. See what I'm saying? So you want to measure every cut by the beginning, the original, by taking the tape measure out there and doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We talked about that some Wednesday night. So, for 2,000 years, we've been comparing ourselves with previous generations, and we only notice a slight difference. Mm-hmm. And then to just console ourselves with the task at hand, which is the Great Commission, winning people to Jesus and displaying the greater works, which we should be doing. A lot of people just created a watered down doctrine, and that just dismantles exactly what Jesus commanded us. It just dismantles the whole things. Well, what did Jesus command us to do? Yeah? Yeah? Huh? What did he say? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. You can lay hands on the sick. Remember? Healing. He commanded us all those things. I hear y'all each kind of going with one of the verses. But you're right. He commanded us to do those things. But see, by the time we got out here, there's actually people sitting in church this morning that said, Sister Jones. Well, we won't use Jones. We have one. Sister McGillicuddy. Okay. Sister McGillicuddy's home with a cold. Lord, if it be thy will. That's the wrong prayer. That's not the original. That's not the original. Nope. It is not the original. So see what happened. They cut the boards without measuring them. They took the picture and they went off the next picture. See, what we do is we begin to judge ourselves by ourselves. But you can't judge yourself by yourself. So where do you think the Lutheran church came from? Okay, so it's from Martin Luther, right? See, so Martin Luther, it was produced because he came up with the truth. What truth did he come up with? Praise the Lord. Okay, so he came up with the truth, right? Mm-hmm. All right. Bless you, brother. You'll be all right. Now, so he put the 90 theses thing on the door. Remember that? So before that, the Catholic Church had been, y'all pay attention up here.
Amen.
They'll take care of the brother. Okay. Now, so the Catholic Church started having people, and I don't know that it does that today. I don't know anything about Catholics today, okay? So don't get upset with me about that. But at the time, they were wanting you to pay to repent at that time. Y'all know that? Back in Florence and in those days, you know, when it was all Rome and it's all spreading around and everything, they wanted to pay. So Martin Luther said, no, we're saved by grace. And he began to come out there and he began to tell that. And so the Lutherans grew up in that, but over a period of time, the Lutherans kind of, their stuff doesn't quite look like that these days. Am I right? He started out right. Amen. So, you know, everybody had a revelation, but sometimes those revelations from way back then begin to change, and they begin to change people. But we need to go back to the original. Always go back to the original. Praise the Lord. Now, the church is coming back now. The church is absolutely coming back. Y'all get your mind off the brother. That's not the first time this has happened. We're fine. Okay, now, so, sometimes people lose at the game of life. But you don't make a new doctrine about that. And you don't use a particular scripture that'll just fit you for the day.
Preach it. That's good.
You can't just have your favorite scripture. You know, well, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Well, now, what exactly does that mean to you? That you don't want anybody being mad that you're sinning. But there's a whole lot of more scripture there. Amen. That's right. Jesus said on the rest of it, go and sin no more. Amen. All right. So embracing a belief system that requires no faith is dangerous and is in itself a contradiction in terms. You do not do that. All right. Where do we want to go here, Lord? All right. Yeah. Let's go here with this. The nature of God, the scriptures that talk about the nature of God, okay? So, let's do Ephesians here, Ephesians 3:20. What does it say? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all, you can think or ask. Is that right? So if it's above what you can think or ask, it's above what you can think or ask.
Right.
It's higher than your thinking.
Right.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. It's higher than your thinking. So what we have to see in this is re-examine your belief system. Find out what the Bible really is teaching about in that nature of God, and it really comes down to this. Many have rejected the clear revelation of the nature of God that is seen in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. They've just rejected it. If he's good, as many claim that he is good, how we respond to that truth will require massive change on how we do life. We have to do life the right way. We have to do it by knowing God is good and not changing because we get emotional about something.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Right.
We have to move forward on these things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you have been to St. Peter's Basilica? Okay. Who's buried down there right below the altar? Anybody know who's buried there? St. Peter? It's not a trick question. Well, actually, there are many people buried down there, down in the catacombs. But there's actually the basilica, then there's the crypt, and then there's something under that. Yeah. I don't know if y'all know that. Okay. But St. Peter, supposedly and possibly, and it's possibly true, is buried down there. Now, so Rome built the biggest church, and they made a law. You can't make anything taller there in the city center. You can't make anything taller than the basilica, because this is the most important thing, because the Apostle Peter is buried here, and he's the rock of the church. But he not. Revelation is the rock of the church. See? But somehow they got off on that, and they read that scripture that says, Peter, you're a rock, and I'm going to build my church on this. No. You got a revelation that I'm the Messiah. I'm going to build my revelation on that. You're a rock, but this rock is bigger. The rock of revelation that I'm the Messiah.
Thank you, Lord.
So Jesus built his church on revelation. So you can't come along and make up other doctrines and decide what you want to do because you failed at something. Because your faith failed, because you didn't want to work it, because you didn't want to take responsibility, because you can't understand how so-and-so didn't come through. You can't change it. The word is final authority.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That is right.
For us, we're called Word of Faith people. Everybody across the board had wonderful revelations. The Baptists had wonderful revelations. We could go on and on. Pentecostals, they got a good one. Glory to God. You know, so, but for Word of Faith people, our deepest revelation is that the Word itself can bring itself to pass. That's the deepest revelation we have. That's what we're built on. That the Word itself can bring itself to pass. Therefore, we want to speak right. So we're the confession people. We're the people that believe in the authority of speaking the words right, because someone back there got a revelation that the word is alive. And when it comes out our mouth, it does something. See? Let's don't let that get watered down. Let's don't decide that's not true. The Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word created. It's still true today. The whole world's being held up by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, the word of his power. Everything's held together right now by that. And that's why we live in that revelation. And within that revelation is that God is good and the believer's authority and, you know, all those things that you know. So, we don't want to let go of those things. We want to hold on to those things. And most of all, we want to hold on to God is good. Now, we cannot afford to forget our destiny and his promises, church. We can't. We have to renew our minds. The renewed mind is more than the ability to give a biblical answer to the problem. It's more than that. It includes that. It includes that. But in reality, it's so much more. It's seeing from a divine perspective. You have to see from a divine perspective. And not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. So that you constantly see that. You constantly eat these scriptures. You constantly think about how they work. What's going on with them. So that you don't one day decide, well, maybe that isn't true. Or someone talks you into going to a church that doesn't believe anything. You know what I mean by that. I don't have time to get in detail about that. You'll just go ahead and go because for some reason or another, my husband doesn't want to come over there, so we're going to go over here. And then the husband stays at home anyway. Once he gets her out of there, then y'all have seen it over and over and over and over. He doesn't want to go over there because y'all are speaking in that tongue, and or y'all were too loud in your worship. Granny can't come. Music's too loud. Well, we have earplugs back there for you. You know, but whatever the reason, and then you get talked out of it, and then you go sit somewhere else, and you start declining.
Yep. Yep.
And then you're calling over here on our line saying, could y'all pray? Or wherever church you call. I'm just saying, it's just the truth. Can we just get down to real here? It's just the truth. We don't pray like y'all do, so we're calling y'all. We get those phone calls, I'm telling you, we get them. And they say, we don't pray like y'all do. We know that y'all know. So could y'all pray? And we're like, yes, we do. Now, we're not going to insult those people. They know what they know. We love them. We'll happily do it. Sure. We say, yes, we'll do it. And we don't go, well, we need to tell you something. We don't do that. No. You respect the people and happy to pray for them. All right, one last thing and we're going to close. It seems that we are more convinced of our unworthiness than we are of His worth. And so we need to clear the air right here. If God gave Jesus His only Son for you, you are extremely worthy to receive Him. Amen. I'm going to say it again. It seems like our inability to take on greater focus here. Let me say this first. I'm going to say the other first. Convinced of our unworthiness more than we are of His worth. Let me go back there. I'm going to stay there for just a minute. You are worthy. You know, we can sing, you know, I'm not worthy and all that. We understand what we're doing there. He's worthy. He's the most worthy. But the truth is you're very valuable.
Yes.
You are. Well, I don't just do anything. I'll just come in here and sit and listen. Well, that's what you need to do at first. And then you need to begin to make supply by just pulling on the anointing, by listening. And then you begin to serve. And then you begin to learn to pray a little bit while we're having the service going on. And then you start growing in the Word. And then you start realizing who you are. You do all those things. And when you begin to know who you really are, perfect love will push fear out. He loves you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be afraid of anything. Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. No, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care if a bullet buzzes right by your ear.
No.
You can stand up.
Yes.
I approve of this message.
Amen.
So, but it seems like our ability takes on greater focus than His ability. What's the matter with that? What's wrong with that? It's not our ability. You don't have to go, I'm just not very good at serving the Lord. He does it through you. Church, get the picture. He gets you saved. He gives you power. He does it through you. Then gives you the credit and then rewards you for it.
Wow.
That's good daddy stuff.
That is.
That's how y'all do all your kids. Come on, honey. Just do this now. Oh, well, you're doing good. And all the time you're doing it. Right? And then all of a sudden, here you are. And you're going, that's good, that's good, that's good. You got it. And then you get the reward, but you did it.
Yeah.
That's how daddy is. That's how father is. That's how this life should be right now.
Amen.
If just stop relying too much on yourself.
Amen.
Just let God do it.
Amen.
You can walk in and be the smartest person in the room. When you go into a meeting and you need to know something, you can go in there and go, yep, I got it. Pastor Nancy, she's proven it to us over and over. They call her to a meeting. She's like, I'll be back in a minute. She walks outside. The Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Goes back in, says a few words. Everything changes. She's told us story after story like that. And it's not the same story over and over. She's spirit led. She's spirit led. She's just listening. Well, Pastor, I don't hear it. I don't hear it. Start praying in tongues.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yes, we're one of those.
Yes, we are.
Just start, do it. Mm-hmm. It's not strange. It's laying out tracks. It's stealth. It's good. It doesn't matter how it sounds. Well, you know, when they did it on that day, they were speaking in languages so other people could understand them. Church, they were praying in heavenly languages. The other people heard it in their language. They heard it in that language. There was miracles going on right then. There were miracles. Excuse me. There were miracles going on right then. They were hearing what they needed to hear. Right now, all of you in this room, some of you are hearing things a little bit different, depending on where you are in your spirit, in your soul. Some of you just got an idea of something you're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Or some of you are saying, you know what? I'm tired of beating myself up and navel gazing all the time. I'm free.
Amen.
Just go free.
Good.
Just go free. You're all right. Let the Lord straighten you out.
Right.
Yeah. I'm bad. Am I bad? Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Stop it. Just ask the Lord. Just say, Lord, show me where I need correction. Show me where I'm being prideful. Show me where I'm being lazy. Show me what I'm doing. Just ask Him and He'll go, hey, right there. He'll do it. He'll give you a greater idea. A greater idea than you've ever had before. Is that company you work for? God could just download and you could just say, hey, what about this? And it could just explode all over the place. Amen. Amen. There's a man on this earth who has such good ideas. He helps take care of the world. Amen. He does. He ain't going to leave you left stuck in space. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. God is good. The same one who called fearful Gideon a valiant warrior, and who called unstable Peter a rock, called us the body of His beloved Son. That's what He's calling you. You are the body of Christ. And where the head goes, the body goes. You're not second son. You're not third son. You're not 2000th son. You are firstborn. You're firstborn right now. You have rights. You have a birthright. You are a joint heir with Christ. Your lineage is short. Father and us. Father and us. We're joint. Take that. You're loved today. God loves you. When the devil tells you when you walk out of here and he says, yeah, but you're not. Pastor was talking about everybody else. But you know you're a low down, dirty, no good. Just kick him out. Put your foot on that snake. Stomp him out like Larry Wallace did. Amen. I watched Larry. We were riding in the cart. Here came a rattlesnake across there. I'm like, there's a rattlesnake. Larry jumps out. All right, let's go. That's exactly how we ought to behave with the enemy. He will torture you about how good you are and what you haven't done. And what about those times? Okay, this is for somebody right now, right now. Why did I say that to them? And you spend all afternoon, all weekend, I think I said the wrong thing. I think I said that. Get over it.
Yeah, that's right.
They're thinking about their lunch. Right. Get over it.
That's good.
So I was so stupid. What did I? Yeah. And so, you know, you get in front of somebody real important and you're like, you know, they're not thinking about it. Man, that chick was stiff. Amen. I remember the first time I met Gloria. And we were at a rally, I think. And so here she comes walking up so sweet and so pretty and everything. And they said, Roxanne, this is Gloria Copeland. And I remember going, oh. She just grabbed me and pulled me in and hugged me. Hi, Roxanne. I'm so glad to know you. And I was like, whew. Hi, Miss Gloria. You know, I didn't have time to think about it. You know, praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, I have a picture of me shaking hands with Brother Copeland in Washington when y'all were with us. And you can't see our hands, but we're looking at each other. And I had already gotten bolder by then. Me and Deb saw the general. Y'all know who the general is? Miss Haggie. So we're looking at the Pantheon. We're standing in Rome in front of the Pantheon. Just looking at it. It's really cool. I suggest if you go back to Rome, go there. If you go to Rome, go look at that. It's amazing. So we're standing there looking, and Deb says, I wonder where you get into this. We were there the night before. I wonder where you get into this place. And I said, I think the ticket booth's right there behind Diana Haggie. And she goes, oh, yeah, that lady looks just like Diana Haggie. And I said, no, that right there. And so we started going, is it her? And we're looking, and she's talking to a guy who she went out to find her phone, and he wouldn't let her back in. So she's like pleading with him. My family's in there. I need to get in. And so all of a sudden she sees us looking at her, and she's like, hey. And so she runs over. She always gives you a kiss, you know. She's so sweet. But it's just so wonderful to know that no matter what spotlight's on you in life, who's a big preacher, who's a this, who's a that, all of the people I know that we run with act like we do. They're just sweet people. Amen. And you're like, yeah, but they've done so much and I haven't. Stop it. Just get on that right path and start doing. Because wherever you are in life, that's where your influence is. You may not have the world stage. It doesn't matter. You know, we haven't traveled all over the world, but we've prayed a lot for the world. Yeah. But we're partners with those that do. Yeah. So right now, I mean, you're planting 7 churches right now because of what you've given. You're planting 7 churches. We just went into Ireland. Yeah. I say we. We're starting to also, on the other people we're partners with, we're starting a telethon in a couple of hours.
That's right.
And Jesse Wesley's going to be answering the phone. This afternoon, she's going to answer the phone for 11 hours. I said, I'm going to keep calling KCM back and saying, is this Jesse? No, I'm going to talk to Jesse. No, I'm not putting in until you give me Jesse. Praise the Lord. God is good. Are y'all happy today?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everything is possible with God. Just always go back to the truth. Don't take the counterfeit. And don't take the counterfeit that you're not any good. You're good. God loves you. You are the goodness of God. You are. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. He's so good. Just watch for it. Just watch for some good stuff to break out. Watch for it. Come back and report it, because good's coming. Goodness, more good, more good, more good. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. See, I just say Chris, and there's like a whole bunch of them in here that I just covered right there. Amen. All at once, I just got, Chris just got rich. Praise the Lord. All of them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. Money in the mail. Money coming to you. Sources coming to you. Twice? You had it. Danny had it happen twice this week. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Unexpected funds coming in. Unexpected funds. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I saw online from where we went to preach that people from there were sending money to here. In that, send it to the church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Expect. Yeah, but stop, get that butt out of here. Get it out. Just receive. Just receive. Praise the Lord. Did y'all see me trip over that? We'll fix it this week. Glory to God. Why are we counting down and I have 24 seconds left? Oh. Okay, Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.
You want to announce prayer tonight?
Prayer tonight.